Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Brent Hubbs approaches it like it's any other opponent. He's getting ready from VolQuest.com. Brent, what's up this morning?
Not much, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing good. Anything new on Ty Chandler to get us started here?
Coach said he was day-to-day. We'll get an update tonight after practice. He did do some things on the practice field yesterday. It looked like, don't know what he did at a team period, but he was doing some stuff with some individual drills yesterday that we saw after not doing anything on Monday other than work with the trainers. So we'll see where he's at. I'd be a little bit surprised if he could go on Saturday, but it doesn't seem like they've ruled him out at this point.
The third quarter got away from Tennessee, obviously, with West Virginia, you know, scoring it well, it seemed like. But the second quarter, to me, was the reason for optimism. How did you view that game in its whole?
Well, I think the first quarter was a disaster, and Tennessee was fortunate not to be down 21-0 coming out of the first quarter. The second quarter, they obviously found an offensive rhythm and ate up the clock and ate up the quarter offensively, which was encouraging. I don't think you can bank on having 9-minute, 17-play drives, you know, on a consistent basis. But, you know, obviously Tennessee got their sea legs under them a little bit and got settled in. I thought when they got the ball back down 10-7 and looked like they were in a rhythm and then they decided to run it on second and three and then again on third and four, was a bad series of play calls there that they couldn't keep the sticks moving. And that was tough because it gave West Virginia some momentum going back into the half because they got the field goal. But at the half, they had the game where they wanted it, you know, at 13-7. And then, as you mentioned, the third quarter got away from them. Tennessee started gambling on defense, blitzing a little bit more to try to disrupt Will Grier. And obviously it did not work. But there were some highlights. There were some good moments. There were certainly some reality checks, I think, and some poor moments for Tennessee, but some things that they have to build on starting this week against ETSU.
What impressed you about Tim Jordan's game, and how does he build on that opener?
Well, I think what impressed you is how physical he played. I mean, he ran with a physicality. He finished runs, falling forward. He broke some tackles. Jeremy Pruitt has made it clear that he missed some running lanes and left a lot of yards out there. But for a guy who hasn't had a ton of rep and a ton of work, I think he gains a lot of confidence from it. And the coaching staff gains confidence that he can obviously play at this level from a physical standpoint. He's got to clean some things up mentally, but I think that was encouraging because you don't know where Ty's at. And Ty Chandler's had some injury history since he's been at Tennessee. So I think that one was important. And Tim Jordan was big for Tennessee and you know, presenting that he could be a factor for them the rest of the season. I want to see Jeremy Banks this weekend. I think this is a great opportunity to play Banks because I think he brings some explosive stuff to the backfield that Tennessee needs, some playmaking skills Tennessee needs.
We're on with Brent Hubbs with VolQuest. I guess, Brent, I see, Trey Coleman left. I guess the program, what was his reasoning? Was it just more playing time? I guess give us a little update on why he left.
Well, he was behind Ty Chandler, Madre London, Tim Jordan, Jeremy Banks on the running back depth chart and wasn't going to factor in and didn't like the fact that he wasn't going to factor in the running back rotation and be a part and decided to go elsewhere. I think that's part of it, particularly in coaching changes. One of the storylines has been that nobody has really left since Pruitt arrived. But now obviously he decided after game one, I'm not going to be a factor and I'm not going to practice every day and be a part of this. So we'll see where he lands. I think he could go back home to Louisiana to, somewhere like a Louisiana Monroe or something like that, or he may end up going the junior college route and kind of get re-recruited and see what happens from there.
Has Coach Pruitt talked about him and Sanders' experience, Randy Sanders at Florida State when their times they coached together?
Yeah, both of them got along well. We're friends with each other and played some golf together and enjoyed some time together and a lot of respect there. Obviously, Randy Sanders knows what he's getting into this weekend and you know, the talent discrepancy and all those types of things. This is a paycheck game for ETSU. That at that level, you have to play these types of games. But, you know, it'd be a real challenge for ETSU to remain in the ball game. But Tennessee's got to be, they got to be focused to go take care of themselves. I mean, Tennessee, this is an important game for Tennessee. This is not a let's just get through the motions and be done with it. There's a lot for Tennessee to learn and to work on and to correct from week one. And there's a lot for this coaching staff to still evaluate about this team in terms of who all is going to be able to help them throughout the year. Because, you know, Saturday's loss to West Virginia, take the score out of it, there were some eye-opening things, I'm sure. I don't think Tennessee had any thoughts that they were only going to score 14 points in that game. And so where are their playmakers going to come offensively? How do you find some playmakers offensively? And then defensively, they've got to correct a lot of mental mistakes and technique mistakes that they played with.
Speaking of Randy Sanders, I mean, what are your, I guess, memories of Randy Sanders, good or indifferent?
I enjoyed my time with dealing with Coach Sanders. I really did. You know, he's, in a positive way, pretty simple, just a football coach. I think he was underrated by a lot of Tennessee fans as a play caller. I think he did a really good job calling plays. And, you know, I'm sure that he's grown a lot since he's left here and, you know, was maybe a little more detail-oriented with some things. But in terms of dealing with him, that was as class could be. I mean, he walked away and resigned as an offensive coordinator to try to help Philip Fulmer. Philip Fulmer did not want him to resign, did not want him to leave. And, you know, Randy Sanders said, hey, you need me to be gone. I'm the guy that, you know, the offense is not going the right way and everybody's, you know, on me and on you because you've got me as your offensive coordinator. It's best that we part ways. And he's gone on and been very successful everywhere he's been, and I'm happy he's got the opportunity at ETSU.
Well, Brent, man, I was a little surprised that we didn't get a pass rush there from Tennessee's front four. How surprised were you that they couldn't get really a lot of pressure on Will Greer?
I was surprised that they did not have more success moving the line of scrimmage, you know, particularly, you know, Chi Tuttle made a play early, thought he might be able to push the pocket on the interior better than he did. And then where was Jonathan Kongbo and Daryl Taylor? Just didn't see, you know, pass rush out of those guys. And I think that's the, you know, when you talk about what concerns you coming out of that game, I think that's the biggest thing defensively, because if you're going to have to blitz all the time to try to get to the quarterback, you're putting some young defensive backs in some really difficult situations. They've got to be able to mix it up some, but you can't mix it up a whole lot if you can't get any kind of pressure, because you can't let a guy sit back there and play 7-on-7 with you. And that's what happened when they didn't, you know, when they didn't try to bring extra people, or when they didn't bring extra people. And then when they brought extra people, they couldn't handle their receivers 1-on-1. So, real concern about a lack of pass rush. They've got to try to find somebody who could rush the passer. I don't know who that is. Is that DeAndre Johnson getting more opportunities this week? Jordan Allen? I don't know, but they've got to somehow, some way find a pass rush without bringing, you know, corner blitzes and safety blitzes and extra people from the back end.
Brent, you know, first we were talking about the defense and the pass rush, and you talked a little bit about the rest of the defense, but what about the play of the secondary, the missed tackles? You know, what was your take on that sort of young part of this football team?
Well, I mean, you expected the young guys to have some mistakes and to make some mistakes and you know, to give up some plays. I think the disappointing part was I don't think they got great play out of the safety position. I didn't think it was Nigel Warrior's best day, and I didn't think Micah Abernathy had his best day, two veterans as well. So, you know, that those guys needed help up front with some pass rush. They didn't get it. There were a couple of plays where the guys were in good coverage, but Will Greer's really good, really put the ball in a good spot. Then there were some other plays that they were just caught flat footed and got run behind, you know, got run by. And so growing pains on the back end back there. And I think, again, you've got two games here where you've got to figure out who you are back there. And that if that's the five or six you played with on Saturday, then that's who they are. And, you know, you got to get them right. Or you got to look at some other guys. Does Theo Jackson get more of an opportunity the next couple of weeks to see where he's at? He played late. You know, what do they do with him this week? He's certainly more athletic than some other guys. So what does he factor in at? Where's Sean Schamberger? Schamberger played special teams, did not play a snap of defense. Can he work himself on the field? Does he get an opportunity here in the next, you know, couple of games to get himself, you know, as a possibility in the secondary? Because you better figure out who you are these next 2 weeks, because you know the gauntlet's coming, and you know what your goal is. Your goal is to try to get to postseason play. That makes the Florida game really important. And obviously, you got to survive through the middle stretch, and then you're going to have to be, you know, a good football team and win some games down the stretch in the month of November.
I thought what Jeremy Pruitt said in the Monday press conference was interesting and not an excuse. When he was talking about the offensive line and just how they just haven't had a lot of snaps due to injury, eligibility, you know, other things. How important is it for these guys to play together a significant amount of snaps this Saturday against East Tennessee State? Because I thought the offensive line, after a shaky start, got a little bit better.
Yeah, I thought they got better. I thought they made some key adjustments to handle the nose tackle better compared to what they were trying to do with him early. But I thought Jameer Johnson is a guy who got better as the game went on. I thought Brandon Kennedy got his legs under him as the game went along as well. You know, I think you want to play those guys and develop some continuity. But I also think you got to figure out, are you settled in with your best five? Are the five that you played Saturday your best five? Is that your best five combination? And I think that's something that you have to continue to look at. But there's no doubt that, I mean, continuity's got some importance to it. How important, you know, that's always up for debate. I go back, and they were more of a veteran team, but I go back to in the early or the mid-90s, Philip Fulmer would move guys from right guard to left guard, center to tackle, week to week, depending on the matchup he liked. And those guys, you know, seemed to function pretty well. So I think you got to have an understanding of the guy beside you. But I don't know that it's a situation where the continuity can be overrated in some regards. But they did clearly have some miscommunication on Saturday early in that game. They were overwhelmed early, got better as the game went on. Is that because they communicated better and there was continuity? Or was that because each individual kind of settled in and played the game better? That I don't know.
I agree with you about Tyson Helton, especially in those play calls when it was 10-7. We were debating about that. But I was also disappointed that they didn't take more than two shots downfield. And to me, that's something they've got to do, because all in all, I like the way Garantano threw the ball.
Yeah, I thought Jared had a solid day. I thought he clearly looked like he was more comfortable. His timing was much better. I didn't like the ball that he threw deep that went out of bounds. You can't throw that ball out of bounds. I mean, if you're trying to give your guy a chance to make a play there, you got to keep it, you know, in the field of play to let him go up and try to make a play. The other deep ball he had no chance on because pressure was in his face. You know, I thought West Virginia did it. You know, they were playing safeties high and trying to take the deep stuff away and not give up big plays. I think the thing that was a little bit of a head scratcher to me offensively with Tyson Helton, and I liked a lot of things Tyson Helton did. I thought he had some good schematic things, and he did call some good things at times. I thought that he got a little bit away from taking what the defense would give him, because, you know, if you're going to play off coverage to the short side of the field, then that quick out on a three-step drop is always going to be open. And Tennessee was 7-for-7 throwing that route on Saturday. And I thought it was there all afternoon. And sometimes you got to look at, let's take what the defense has given us as opposed to getting to everything on my call sheet. And I thought he could have done a better job of taking what the defense gave them and forced the defense to adjust. Because then if the corners come up and start playing tight, then you do open yourself up for more deep shots, you know. And so I think there's a little bit more give and take there. And you take a little bit more of what the defense has given you than what he did in that ball game. And I think that's something he'll learn from. The other question, too, with that offense is, who are your playmakers, and can you get the ball in their hands? You know, Dominique Wood Anderson was targeted one time. Was that because West Virginia took the tight end away? Was that because Dominique Wood Anderson can't handle everything you've got in offensively? I don't know, but you got to identify the guys you want to touch the ball, you know, a set number of times, and you got to figure it out ways to get them the football.
Brent Hubbs, always terrific. The website's ballquest.com. Thanks a lot, Brent.
All right, guys, have a good one.